ladies and gentlemen, the following episode is scheduled for one fall. Coming down the aisle are your hosts of In the Click, Baby Huey and Ryan Pronick.
What's up, everybody? Baby Huey here, and joining me once again is my tag team partner, Brian Tronick. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Glad to be back, Huey. We're back.
I was going to say, glad to see you get out of your hibernation over the winter.
Look at my hair.
I think that's the best way to sum this up for your disappearance. I'm going to call you Houdini now, because you know how to disappear off the face of the earth.
Oh, man.
But no, all real, serious talk. Yeah, so good to see your face again. The Clicksters missed you. A lot of people miss you. So good to see you again. And wait a second. I don't think you've seen me, recording with my new chair. Like, it's my new office chair.
I was literally just looking at it. I'm like, wow.
This is a big boy size chair. So if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, which, by the way, please subscribe to In the Click, wherever you get your podcasts at. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. So if you listen to us at Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating, leave a review there. But I highly suggest you watch us on YouTube, because we've been doing a much better job of posting videos of our podcast on our YouTube channel. So search for In the Click, KLIQ, hit the subscribe button and watch the video. You can see my new chair. it was a Thanksgiving Black Friday sale. Wow. Purchase. Nice. So wow. Yes, I got it on
that long.
Jeez, Brian. It is. I know it's April now, but I was gonna say no April Fool's joke. That is Brian. But no, New Year's resolution, a belated New Year's resolution. We gotta really get back into the groove here. I'm yes. You know, so much to talk about. As The Rock said, wrestling is cool again. So if you saw the title of this episode, it's our WrestleMania 40, WrestleMania XL. It's this weekend. This is our predictions episode. So much to talk about, catch up on. I know it's been a busy week. It's going to be a very busy week. I'm flying to Philadelphia tonight. I'll be there at all the events. So please follow me on social media, Baby Huey Official on Facebook. Or facebook.com/ Baby Huey Official, Twitter and Instagram at Baby Huey 83. I'll post stuff at In the Click as well. And, but yeah, it's gonna be all the stuff out there. A lot of news is gonna come out, interviews, all that good stuff. But it's also a busy week. CM Punk was on Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour. I have not watched the full thing, so I kind of want to save my thoughts on that until I watch the full interview. And I would love to get your thoughts on it too, Brian. And yeah, that could be a really long discussion, because he covered a lot of ground in what, that almost 2-hour interview he did with him. Mm-hmm. So let's save that. Let's bookmark that to maybe next week at some point. Hopefully I'll have some time over the next week or so to watch the whole thing. But let's jump into it. WrestleMania 40 this weekend, this Saturday and Sunday. Streaming live on Peacock, 4 p.m. our time out here on the West Coast, 7 p.m. Eastern. Stand Deliver is also what, Saturday morning as well. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot of fun. But Brian, let's before we kind of go through all the matches, and thank you for letting me know that Triple H officially posted the lineup of matches for night one, night two this weekend. Also, real quick, as you're listening to us, please go back one episode, listen to my interview with the man, Becky Lynch. Her new book is out now. We talked about our book. It was a really short interview. I was kind of bummed. It was only 7 minutes, but I think we got some good stuff out of it. So please watch that interview as well. It's on our YouTube channel. So before we get into all the matches, Brian, just your thoughts. The Rock, he's been back now for over the last, 4 or 5 weeks now, as far as this program with him and Roman teaming up against Cody and Seth. A lot to talk about, and we could talk about more as we talk about the matches from this weekend.
Yeah.
With the predictions, but just kind of your overall thoughts of seeing The Rock back on WWE television.
Well, I was very, very upset, as were a lot of wrestling fans when he initially came back, under the, I guess, knowledge of him possibly fighting Roman for the championship at WrestleMania in the main event. I was very mad. I was very vocal about it on Twitter or X. I was I don't think I've ever been that mad, right? Like, I'm usually like, oh, we'll see where this goes. But I was really bummed and really upset. But ever since that happened and the We Want Cody hashtag started and everything kind of turned around, this has been, in my opinion, for the better. Like, it almost makes it almost makes me think, I mean, we talked about this, you know, off camera, like, it almost makes me feel like maybe this was the plan all along. Like, it just feels right. It feels like, and I guess that's it's like a testament to how good the creative team now, the creative team that's in place now is.
Yeah.
That they're able to pivot such a like hard, like serious match or serious, like just something so like, it, I mean, the company depends on it, I feel like, right?
Yeah.
The success of this main event and the success of this WrestleMania and how they were able to just turn it around, get the fan reaction, and say, oh, they don't like that. All right, let's turn it around and make it this. And The Rock's professionalism and how good he is.
Yeah.
You know, on screen, off screen, behind the scenes, whatever, to just adapt and be able to turn it into this. Like, Cody, like, this is, it didn't have to be this way, but now it is.
Yeah, Brian. So that pivot you're talking about is when Cody came back into the main event scene, as far as, you know, going back to Royal Rumble, he wins the Royal Rumble, points at Roman, kind of immediately declaring he's going to go after Roman Reigns for the title. However, jump ahead to SmackDown, The Rock comes out and Cody pretty much hands over the main event title shot to The Rock. The crowd goes crazy, fans online booing, everything, does not like it, starts to hashtag that whole movement for Cody to get him back into the main event scene, as you just mentioned earlier. And then sure enough, it kind of pivoted into this new storyline where it's Rock Roman teaming up, The Rock going full heel versus Cody, and Seth Rollins gets involved. And now we got this main event for night one where it's a tag team match, Rock and Roman teaming up as part of the Bloodline. Rock goes heel, officially joins the Bloodline, and now their purpose is to take out Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, and then the two of them join up as the baby faces. So now you got this epic main event lineup for night one, and you talk about this pivot here. First, we're talking about The Rock, though, earlier. The Rock, it's been so great to see him as a heel again, as far as it's very much a callback to 98 Rock with him wearing this time expensive looking vest, Versace vest instead of the shirts back in the day, calling out the crowd. I felt like his first appearance on SmackDown where he was making fun of the crowd was the Phoenix crowd, calling saying you have herpes on your mouth and all. So it was very much like late 90s Rock, heel Rock there. And then the next time we saw him was at Memphis. He was playing the guitar and having like a concert, very much like Hollywood Rock in the early 2000s. Yep. And then after that, it's kind of morphed into like this more menacing Rock, like this killer Rock, this really intimidating bad guy, like a supervillain you would see from a movie. So it's really been interesting over the last like 4 or 5 weeks I've seen The Rock on television, how he has evolved in that time period. Yeah. So going back to this word pivot, which a lot of people are using as far as the fans rejecting the main event, it looked like we were going to get, which is Rock versus Roman. Instead, it's turned into this tag team match, which then sets the stipulations for night two for Cody versus Roman. So very exciting stuff here. But as you and I were talking off the air, kind of conspiracy theory, if that was the plan or not all along, because you and I were talking off the air, if the plan was Rock versus Roman, and then we saw CM Punk on Ari Helwani's show, he admitted his plan was going to be him versus Seth at WrestleMania. So what was going to be Cody's plan all along? What was going to be his plan for WrestleMania this year? He's on the outside looking in, very confusing. But now, as you mentioned, this pivot, it actually turned into, I think, a better storyline in the big picture of things. But makes you wonder, conspiracy theory, what if this was the plan all along, but they were just working the whole fan base here, which is very interesting. So
bizarre. That's, it's really bizarre.
That's something I hope one day someone will do, like a tell-all book, a shoot interview, or an interview, and explains what really happened, break kayfabe, break the fourth wall, explain what happened behind the scenes, and how do we get here. But it's been an amazing, fun journey. I believe what The Rock said back when it was in Pat McAfee's show, called out the Cody Crybabies, but said, hey, enjoy the ride that we're about to go on. And it's been a lot of fun. So
they've honestly restored that, because I know it was beginning to get made fun of a lot when people say, oh, just let it play out, right? Like, we could never rely on the let it play out, because as wrestling fans, we've been let down so much, especially
yeah,
the previous regime. But like with now, it's just like, wow, you really see the benefit now of waiting, letting it play out. And also what Triple H and the new administration of creative has been doing is they've been inserting, like they've been bringing back that surprise feel, right? Even when you think,
not a lot of leaks going on right now, the element of surprise. Yeah.
Even when you talked this past Monday, it was pretty obvious. I mean, people thought, okay, maybe Cody has to be there, right? But then you never know. Like nowadays, you're like, well, maybe he won't show up. Maybe they will save that for SmackDown, right? But it was pretty clear with the Bloodline rules and stuff like that. And when The Rock came out, it's just like, okay, everyone's expecting Cody. So even though you expected a little bit, it's still a surprise, because it's just like, wow. And it makes you realize, okay, they are listening. They are. Yeah. They do listen to the fans. They're on social media. They're really picking up everything. They're not giving everybody everything they want.
Yep.
But they're definitely saying, oh, okay, the fan, they want this. All right, cool. And I think that started at Survivor Series, and it's been going ever since CM Punk came back. I feel like they've been doing everything they can to give the fans what they want to some degree.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you 100%. And it's also just been really fun to watch this pivot, as I keep referring to, play out.
Yeah.
My only concern, as much as I've been gracing The Rock on TV every week, and wrestling is booming right now, it's red hot, especially WWE, and things are going great. At the same time, my only concern is, as great as been seeing The Rock on there, I really feel like Roman Reigns has taken a back seat. If this is his last hoorah as champion, like the final stage of his current run as WWE champion, he's really kind of taking a bad backseat to The Rock, which is like, who cares? It's The Rock. He's one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. He's one of the all-time greats in WWE. And to have him back on television, you're going to maximize what you can with him on television and milk it for what it's worth. And so, unfortunately, Roman's going to be taking a little bit of a backseat. I mean, going back to the press conference in Las Vegas, when they're walking out, Roman was walking behind The Rock, almost like a little brother walking behind a big brother, which is fine. And so they're kind of, after that beatdown we saw The Rock did on Cody last week on Raw, and he busted him open. We saw blood on TV again. Amazing scene outside with the rain coming down and The Rock calling out Cody's mom, and got the weight belt and said, this is the weight belt, Mama Rhodes. And he says, on the previous promo, he said, I'm going to wipe your son's blood on this belt and hand it to you, and you can cry your tears on it. And then he had the belt and said, here's the belt with your son's blood. The only thing missing is your tears. And it was such an amazing scene when he picked up Cody and says, Cody, what do you know about hard times? Mm-hmm. And I got goosebumps, because it's like, it's a callback to his dad, obviously. And it's like Cody, as the hero here, getting beat down, he's got to overcome the odds to take down the big bad, The Rock, who has morphed into this super villain. I mean, his entrance with the lightning, it's like, it's out of a comic book, like as far as almost like Black Adam-esque. And it's been so amazing. Like I said, Rock, when he turned heel a couple months ago, it was very, very much like 1998 Rock. And then when he did his concert, it was like a callback to Hollywood Rock. And then now it's like this new era of The Rock as a heel, the final boss character. It's like this menacing, scary, he's gonna take everyone out, Rock, and
walk to the ring,
slow walk, and just beating people up, and it's been so entertaining to watch. And you know, we get like the old Rock theme song mixed in with the Hollywood Rock theme song. It's just been such a great presentation for him that I've really been enjoying. And I'm glad he's just not playing the hits. The character has evolved over the last few weeks, which is who knows if this is his final run in WWE ever, but what a way to go out if this is The Rock's last time as far as wrestling a program again. Then again, I still think Rock Roman's going to happen probably next year, WrestleMania. So I don't think this is necessarily the end of The Rock, but like, what a way to kind of, you know, bookmark this latter part of his career in WWE. Mm-hmm. So much to talk about. We'll get into all of that stuff. Let's see here. And then, let's see. I'm looking here. Sorry. People are texting me right now. As I said earlier, I got so much going on. I got a concert to go tonight, go to the airport, everything. Yep. But all right, Brian, let's go ahead and jump into this. Triple H, as you point out to me, he announced all the matches for night one, night two WrestleMania coming up this weekend. So I'm just going to go down Triple H's Twitter feed here and just see what he posted. And we'll give our predictions here. So we'll power through this. Looks like it's 13 matches. Really exciting stuff over two nights. So I'll start from the bottom up to what looks like the main event. So for night one, it looks like we have Rey Mysterio and the newest member of the LWO, as we saw on SmackDown last week, Dragon Lee, taking on Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. So Rey versus Dom, kind of part two from last year in LA.
Yep.
Who do you think is going to win this match?
Ah, oh, man, I would have to go with Santos and Dominic just because, you know, Rey got his big win last year over Dom. And, you know, they were saying on commentary that, you know, Dom kind of snuck his way back on to WrestleMania, and which is true. Right. But if I'm Dominic, I would want to be sneaking on to WrestleMania too, especially when I know that my dad, who's missed a great portion of, you know, the year, like he's been in and out of the starting lineup, I guess you could say. Right. And Dom's been, he's been working. He's been North American. How do you leave someone who's been putting in as much work as Dominic Mysterio off WrestleMania?
Probably easily the most hated WWE superstar right now. Yes, the heat he gets from the crowd. Yeah.
And most improved, I feel like, right? So Dom aligning himself with Santos Escobar, or you can even look at it the other way. Santos Escobar aligning himself with Dominic Mysterio.
So let's talk about that real quick. So we see Santos and Rey, their heated rivalry, you know, taking place on SmackDown the last few weeks, LWO versus Legado. Dominic showing up on SmackDown, costing his dad a match. Then the following week, he kind of, you see him hanging out with Legado. Judgment Day is like, whoa, what are you doing hanging out with those guys? Why are you hanging out with them? And he's like, I'm just trying to do, he's telling mommy, Rhea, I'm just trying to do you guys proud. And then on Raw, he brings Legado into the Judgment Day's like hangout spot. What do you think is going on here? Not to jump ahead, I have a feeling Judgment Day might break up after WrestleMania, or they're going to implode this weekend. Yeah. But what do you think is going on with Dominic and Legado? We saw also Dominic's been kind of getting really friendly with Andrade.
Yeah.
He came in the backstage area, the Judgment Day hangout, and like met Santos and Dom, and Judgment Day's like standing there like, what the hell's going on? I'm with you. I think Dom and Santos are going to win here. That's why Dom gets his win back from losing to his dad last year. I have a feeling Dragon Lee's going to eat the pin. When Rey announced that Dragon Lee was going to be his tag team partner, you see Carlito standing there looking a little pissed off, a little puzzled, like, oh, you didn't pick me? Because even the crowd was like, Carlito, Carlito. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, newest member of LWO, Dragon Lee. So I have a feeling Carlito is going to maybe come in, get involved, maybe cost him the match, maybe he turns on LWO, and then I think Dom, Santos, Andrade, do you think are they going to form a new power faction here?
It's possible. You know, I was just thinking too, like, maybe like what comes out of this is just one big brand new group. Like for like you were saying, you know, it's possible we can lose Judgment Day. If we lose Judgment Day, who's going to be the next big dominant group in WWE, right? And so if we see Judgment Day disband,
even the Bloodline could be done after this week. Right.
It's so much can happen, and that's why I love WrestleMania, is because you never know what's going to happen. And on paper, right, you look at this Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, Santos Escobar, Dominic Mysterio. It looks like something that WWE just said, all right, we'll just throw it together. But there's so much story. There's so much meaning behind this match. And it's a callback to Escobar and Rey. It's a callback to Dom and Rey. It's a callback to Dragon Lee and Rey's relationship, and how when he came over to the main roster, Rey Mysterio embraced Dragon Lee. You got to keep eyes on Dragon Lee too, because what? You never know. You just never know. It really is a whose side are you on type of situation, right? Are you on the LWO side, who's been on the better end of defeat, or at least defeat in terms of beat downs, right? They've been getting beat down and injured, you know, between Carlito and Rey Mysterio. They've been beat down and taken out by Legado. So, I mean, who knows? And then Andrade, you know, getting orders from Dom. And with the thing with Judgment Day, I want to say real quick, the thing with Judgment Day, it feels like every member of Judgment Day is trying to find something to do, like some kind of power, even though they say that there's no leaders. It's clear that Rhea and Damian have completely turned like their backs on one another in terms of they had such great communication early in the last year, and you know, last year at WrestleMania, they had such great communication. Now they don't. Mommy Rhea has been tied up with everything going on with the Women's World Championship. You know, she's been talking about how Becky has been, you know, accepting all these matches, not getting ready. Well, she hasn't really been focused either, because she's got all this Judgment Day stuff going on. What I'm seeing with Dom is just trying to find a way out. Because he realizes that Judgment Day ain't going to last very long.
It's a sinking ship. Yeah.
Sinking ship. Now, maybe Dom is taking everything that he's learned and everything that he knows from Judgment Day. Maybe he's, like you say, trying to build his own empire, or maybe somebody's getting kicked out. I don't know. Because, again, the stakes are high. The tag that Rhea has to defend her title. Finn and Damian got to defend their titles. Dom's got to win his match. And JD just gotta choose a side.
So yeah, could this be a whole new super faction coming out of WrestleMania? Dom as the leader? I don't know. It's gonna be really interesting to see how this plays out. So very exciting stuff for a match that kind of just came together within the last week.
Yeah.
Really intriguing what Easter eggs are being planted here, the seeds that are being planted. So, all right, next up we have Damage Control. As far as let's see, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai taking on Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jay Cargill, who we saw originally make her first appearance at the Royal Rumble. Been off TV for the last couple months. A lot of people wondering where she been. Finally shows up on SmackDown this past week. Looked like a million bucks with that entrance, that outfit. Whew. Yep. I mean, all of it looked amazing, that presentation. Signed her contract with Nick Aldis. And at the end of the show, made the save when Bianca and Naomi were getting beat down by Damage Control. And then the three ladies, Bianca, Naomi, Jade, specifically pointed to the WrestleMania sign. So now we're getting a six-person tag here. Bianca and Naomi are on the same page now. When Bianca was at first hesitant to help Bayley, when Naomi was like, "Well, no, I know I've been around here, but I don't like what Damage Control is doing. If you help me, we can stop them." They're on the same page now. Jade, who also had some backstage altercations with them within the last few weeks. So the enemy of my enemy. Common enemy. They both have a common enemy. So it makes sense here. So I think it's pretty obvious. Jade Cargill is not going to lose her first match with WWE. She looked like a million bucks with the presentation. I easily see Jade Cargill pinning one of the members of Damage Control, probably Dakota Kai. But I think Bianca, Naomi, and Jade are going to win here. How about you?
I'm with you. I feel the same. Jay Cargill, Naomi, Bianca Belair, they definitely got to get the win here. I don't see any other reason why Damage Control would have to win this match. I mean, look, man, I know a lot of people were bummed Bianca didn't get a singles match here. A lot of people have been talking about, oh, Naomi, she's just thrown right back into a tag team. But this is an attraction match, okay? This is not a tag team. This is an attraction. This is Damage Control, the newly formed Damage Control, right, with Dakota Kai at the head of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bianca, Jade, and Naomi, like you say, joining forces. They got the common enemy in Damage Control, and they're going to go out there and they're going to take care of it. They're going to take care of the problem. They're going to get it done.
Exactly. Which I'm surprised the tag titles are not on the line, but I think this situation is trying to get some more bodies onto the WrestleMania card. Right. So I'm sure the tag titles will come to the picture down the road. Maybe Bianca and Naomi are a tag team moving forward. I know that's not been officially announced or anything, but we'll see in the coming weeks if that's something they go with. I think Jade is better off staying as a single star. But for Bianca, you know, maybe she's been champion a couple times already for the last couple years. Being her in a tag team, that's kind of WWE's MO. When someone's been champion or in the main event scene for a long time, kind of keep them occupied away from the main event scene, put them in a tag team. So I think her and Naomi, that's a good place for both of them right now, just to stay busy for the time being on, you know, week to week SmackDown television. And I'm sure the tag titles will probably be in their grasp in the near future. So next up, so we got the six pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. We got champions Judgment Day, Damian and Finn, Johnny and Ciampa as DIY, Grayson Waller, Austin Theory, New Day. We got Miz and R-Truth, and then New Pacific Catch. Is that the right term? Wait.
New Catch Republic.
New Catch Pacific Catch. That's a restaurant. Sorry. I just wish they would call it British Strong Style. I think that's a better name. But I don't think they have the rights to it. But New Catch Republic, which is Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Now, Brian, can you clarify for me? Did Michael Cole say that both set of titles, SmackDown Raw titles, are going to be held up there separately and the match is not over until both of them are pulled down?
Yep.
So it looks like that's how they're going to split up the tag titles finally.
Yeah, I was bummed when he announced it, only because like I had this crazy idea of possibly R-Truth grabbing one set of titles and being like, we won. And then Miz going, no, you got to get the other ones. And then somebody else grabbing the other ones. And then that's how you split them. But I'm okay with Michael Cole and WWE just going ahead and announcing that you know, the match isn't over until both titles have been captured. So, I mean, which is kind of obvious anyways, because even if they were the undisputed tag team champion, they are the undisputed tag team title. So you kind of have to grab both anyway. So the same team can grab both, or two separate teams can grab both.
Yeah. So currently there's only two SmackDown teams in here, and the rest are, the other four are Raw. Now, did you see something online that Austin Theory and Grayson Waller might get pulled out last minute from this match? That's a rumor.
I didn't see that.
And so everyone's like, ooh, that means Motor Machine.
Motor City Machine Guns.
Motor City Machine Guns, who just left TNA. Could that be a way of them adding this match? Very similar to when the Hardys made their return to WrestleMania, like a surprise entrant. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For the sake of just what's currently present here, we'll go off that. I think R-Truth and Miz are going to win the Raw titles then, just because R-Truth has been amazing, just comedic relief and just his entertainment value, his ongoing story with the Judgment Day for the last couple months. I think R-Truth and Miz kind of reuniting as the Awesome Truth tag team has been great again. So I see them winning the Raw titles. That way R-Truth gets a big WrestleMania moment. From SmackDown, I'm a little torn. Like, I could see Austin Theory and Grayson Waller winning just to give them something to do.
Yeah.
And then have Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate as babyfaces chase them. So that's why I'm leaning towards the heels winning those SmackDown tag titles. How about you? Were you kind of thinking for winners?
That's, I feel like that's the only other, that's the only way, because the rest of them, I don't see DIY going to SmackDown. I don't see New Day going to SmackDown. And I don't see DIY grabbing the championships over over the Awesome Truth either. Like, I just don't see it. So, yeah, I would go with Awesome Truth with the Raw titles and A-Town Down Under.
Okay, right on. All right, next up, brother versus brother, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. This has been an ongoing story for years now, ever since the Bloodline started, going back to when Jey was taking on Roman, and Jimmy, while he was still injured, was part of the storyline, and Jey trying to protect his brother, and then ultimately both of them falling in line and joining Roman and forming the Bloodline officially, and them going on this huge tag team run, longest tag team title reign ever, and then them breaking away from the Bloodline, and then Jey challenging, and then they had the Civil War last year with the Bloodline, which was a great story beat, and then Jey facing Roman, but then Jimmy coming back and costing his brother the title, and then I think that's when the Bloodline story really jumped the shark, SummerSlam last year. I still didn't believe Jimmy's reasoning for costing his brother the championship from Roman Reigns last year, because he didn't want his brother to fall down the dark side pretty much by being champion and being like Roman Reigns. And then yet Jey goes off on this excursion or disappears and then goes to Raw when Cody brings him over. And then Jimmy just joins the Bloodline again after it just pissed away the entire summer storyline we had invested in last year, post WrestleMania 39 last summer. Jimmy and Jey kind of going on a heist and getting out of the Bloodline, fighting the Bloodline, Civil War, and then Jimmy just falling back in. And then for the rest of 2023, it was just comedic relief. And it's been a bumpy road since then for Jimmy. Unfortunately, I just haven't been as, he has had his moments where he's been really funny on the camera, but other times it's just been like kind of goofy.
I don't think Jimmy really took off until the Yeet and No Yeet stuff started.
Yeah, exactly.
Once the No Yeet stuff started, I was like, okay, they're going somewhere with him now.
Yeah. I'll give you that. Jey's been doing great things. Obviously, him and Cody won the tag titles for a couple weeks last year. Jey's been kind of, going around different little feuds and stuff and trying to win back people's trust post leaving the Bloodline on Raw. That's been a big story beat for him as a babyface now, and huge reaction from the crowd. But I think Jey's winning here. I think it's pretty obvious. I think Jey's going to win here. He needs this win. And I think after WrestleMania, I could see Jey going after some singles title, maybe IC title down the road or something like that. But I see Jey winning.
I'm going to go with Jimmy.
Ooh, I can see that too. I can see Solo costing, getting involved, be the third brother involved and costing Jey.
I think Jimmy has something up his sleeve. And I don't know. I don't quite know if it'll be Solo. I think it'll be somebody else.
Another
Jimmy. I don't know who, but I feel like it's going to be somebody. I don't know. I think Jimmy's going
to. I was going to say.
Rikishi, I don't know.
But I know for the both of them, I'm sure deep down, real talk, we're both very happy to finally have this match, one-on-one, really brother versus brother.
A million times.
WrestleMania, I mean, they did the interview with Ariel Helwani last year, and they said their dream was to have a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. And then a year later, they're getting it. So I'm just happy for the both of them on a real personal level. So, all right, next up, Gunther defending the IC title against Sami Zayn. Awesome Bill, the last few weeks after Sami won the gauntlet, becoming the new number one contender, beat Chad Gable, Sami Zayn kind of doubting himself that he could beat Gunther. This dominant force has the longest IC title reign record. Chad Gable kind of coming to his side and said, you can't beat him. And then he's been training him, says, I think you can beat him. I'm here to help you. Very much like a Rocky III story when Rocky couldn't beat Clubber Lang, a.k.a. Mr. T, and then Carl Weathers, R.I.P., by the way, a.k.a. Apollo Creed, started helping Rocky, training him to eventually beat Clubber Lang in the rematch at the end of Rocky III. So very much Rocky III storyline playing out here.
Yep.
I don't know if Sammy could win because there is that show in Germany in what, August or September. And I think they want Gunther, you know, who's from that area to be a champion. The only other alternative is I think Gunther maybe wins the title, a world title. So maybe, okay, I can see Sammy winning the IC title here. So that way Gunther from here throughout the rest of throughout the summer, you build him up as a top contender and he wins the world title at, is it Clash at the, no, not Clash at the Castle. Berlin. Was it?
Bash in Berlin.
Bash in Berlin. So I could see maybe that's a crowning moment for Gunther as a world champion. Mm-hmm. So with that mindset, I'll just say I think Sammy wins here. Ultimate underdog finally wins here and ends Gunther's title reign.
I'm gonna say Gunther because I feel like night after WrestleMania, it's been a while since one of those has been great.
Okay.
Chad Gable, just he's right there. You know, I feel like that would be
turn heel.
That'd be a great moment for Chad Gable to get an opportunity to fight Gunther. Maybe he does train Sami Zayn.
Oh, okay.
And he's in his corner and he sees Sami Zayn, he just can't get it done. And then in return, Sami Zayn vouches for Gable to get his rematch that he deserves. And then Gable is the one to defeat Gunther. And then that way, Gunther for the next few months goes on to new things and capturing a world championship.
So what you're saying here, like I said, this storyline with Sammy versus Gunther with Chad on the outside, like Rocky III, Sammy loses, Chad comes for the save to beat Gunther like Rocky IV. Okay, I can see that. Nonetheless, I'm looking forward to it. We love Gunther here.
He's such a professional. I loved his beatdown on Raw. Mm-hmm. And just ever since, like, just when you think like, oh boy, like he's a monster in the ring. Like what's next for him? What's he just keeps elevating and getting better and better on the mic.
Yep.
His presence, everything is just perfect.
His outfits looks like a million bucks. Yeah. Dude, Gunther's crazy, like turned the whole total package.
Yep.
I still say he's the best in the world right now. Sorry, Kenny Omega. Sorry. All right, next up for the Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley defending against Becky Lynch. This in the last 2 weeks has really heated up as far as the intensity here and the emotions. And like for me as a fan, like I am super excited for this match here. Becky Lynch won the Elimination Chamber in Australia back in February, challenges Rhea Ripley for that title. As you mentioned earlier, Becky's been fighting competitor after competitor. Some are worried that could be her downfall. Like she's just breaking down. She's trying to wrestle every week. Rhea Ripley's been taking the easy road and not wrestling. But that you can make the argument that's been her title reign for the last year, not wrestling too much. Last week, Rhea Ripley called out Becky's daughter and that her daughter is going to look up the Rhea Ripley, and Becky got mad and said, my father passed away before he met his daughter or her daughter. Is that what she said?
Yep. Before he met her daughter. Yeah.
His granddaughter. So, she wants to do right by her father and for her daughter and be a great fighting, you know, be a champion for them as a mom. Yep. And then great, added layer yesterday, Rhea Ripley, after CM Punk was on, she was a guest on Ari Helwani's MMA Hour. And then Becky Lynch showed up at the building and it just crashed the interview. I loved it. And you can tell Ariel was in on it. And so like, he's like, hey, my phone's ringing. It's Becky. Maybe she butt dialed, not answered it. Oh, she's calling again. Oh, I don't, what's going on here? And then third time, should I answer it? And Rhea's like, sure. And then sure enough, FaceTime and Becky's outside. Said, let me in. And then she shows up and they fight each other in the studio. I love that. I think that's been a smart way to just get some viral moments, add some tension to the storyline outside of like a traditional WWE arena on television. You add more levels of heat to a feud outside of them. Like, I think for the longest time, we're so used to people, their storylines only take place in the arena where Raw or SmackDown takes place, or in the ring. But it's like, well, no, these are real people. If they see each other on the street, they're going to take it out on each other, right? or they're so pissed they can't wait until the next show. They'll crash, them doing press or something. So I like that element of surprise and unknown. By the way, also Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, they created a little viral moment, that Joey Swole guy, who's I guess an influencer in the weightlifting, physical health world. He's known for calling out people who do like body shaming and kind of bad etiquette at a gym. He calls out those people and just, hey, don't do that. Stop it. Mind your manners. Treat people, be encouraging people working out and stuff. And so I guess someone walked in, the video was someone walked in front of Austin Theory's camera when he's weightlifting, like filming himself working out, and it turned to an argument, and Joey Swole says, stop that. How dare you? And then Grayson Waller and Austin Theory were like, who is this guy? And so it's another smart move, using someone who's an influencer, has a big following, and using them to kind of add an element to their storyline. So it's a smart way for WWE superstars to kind of reach new audiences. Mm-hmm. With that being said, so I think great move there.
I wonder if when stuff like this happens, I always wonder, like, I wonder if Logan Paul has anything to do with this stuff. Like, I wonder if
giving ideas
and brainstorming, just being like, hey, if you do it this way, or maybe do it on social media, make it, they've done social media in the past prior to Logan Paul, but ever since he came, I see that it's ramped up a lot, with his stuff, with other people's stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was just like, hey, Triple H,
or like an idea,
or Theory and Waller himself, and been like, hey guys, what if you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think that it's all great stuff. With that being said, though, my heart wants to see Becky win. However, there are reports that she only has 2 months left on her contract. Mm. I mean, I don't see her going anywhere else. I think her and Seth are WWE people for life.
Yeah.
I don't see where else they could go and make that same money and get that same level of star power. Unless Becky already signed a new contract.
Yeah.
If she's on her way out or taking time off, I see Rhea retaining here, and almost like, I think Rhea needs a big win for this current title reign. She's had some okay opponents. I mean, Nia Jax was a good match, or decent match, at Elimination Chamber. Zoe Stark back at Survivor Series, but not a big feud to really go along with this long title reign. So my heart wants Becky to win. She was a guest last week on the podcast, but my brain is saying Rhea Ripley retains. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go with exactly what you said. I think Rhea Ripley needs a big win. Mm-hmm. Winning the championship over Charlotte, to me, was probably her biggest win, right? And now I feel like the situation is, okay, Becky lost. She's lost at WrestleMania before, so it's not really that big of a deal, but under the circumstance, right? Becky's been talking a lot of trash about Rhea Ripley over the last week, about the stuff that she's doing on the house shows, about how she's not really defending the championship, and about how Rhea's putting more focus on everything else that she's doing, her body, the way she looks, da 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 da, and not the stuff she does in the ring. I feel like this is a moment where Rhea Ripley turns it up a notch. Mm-hmm. I think she realizes that. I think she has a added that to her game. Like, it's WrestleMania. I beat Charlotte Flair, the Queen City, right? I beat Charlotte Flair for the championship, and now she's going up against Becky. And I also look, if I'm gonna say my own thing. I think Rhea Ripley's gonna win. But if I was behind, because all this stuff going on with Judgment Day, I'm also seeking outside help, right? Because you gotta protect yourself. I think this would be perfect for somebody, maybe from NXT or whatever, to come and just make sure Rhea Ripley gets it done. And now that way, if there is a split from Judgment Day, you keep Rhea Ripley hot in the time being by having someone like a strong
protege. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a protege with her, under her, to keep her interesting and strong, because not to say she can't survive by herself, but if we're going to keep her, if she beats Becky, I'm assuming she's going to keep the championship for quite a bit. I think they're going to do Rhea Ripley sort of like they've been doing all the other champions, right? Like the next in line champions going forward, I feel like are going to be people who are next up, right? Whoever beats Rhea Ripley is going to be somebody fresh, someone new, someone who, you know, is going to go to that next level, right?
Make a new star. Yeah.
New star. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like Rhea Ripley could use someone, but she can also get it done by herself. And maybe you can save that type of stuff for later on.
The only thing I could. It's interesting. If she beats Becky, Rhea beat Charlotte, beating Becky. So it's almost like her and Bianca both have a similar story as far as beating all the four horsewomen. Mm-hmm. I think Bianca, the only one she has not beat yet, is Charlotte officially. Yep. Cause she beat Sasha Banks a couple years ago. She beat Bayley when she was champion. Who am I missing? She beat Becky. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It should be Becky at WrestleMania 2 years ago in Dallas. Yeah. Yep. So she has not beat Charlotte. Rhea has beaten Charlotte last year. If she beats Becky this year, the only one left on the roster is Bayley. And then who knows down the road if, you know, Sasha Banks,
I forgot who said it on Twitter, but someone said Rhea retains. You keep her hot until next year's WrestleMania, and then it will be, and then you can have her go up against Bianca finally, and it'll be Bianca's WrestleMania streak, right? Against,
Rhea's title, like the
longest reigning women's world champion, right? So that'll be a cool thing.
Bianca's been undefeated so far in WrestleMania all of her times. Okay, well, we'll see how that goes. Next up, main event, the biggest tag team match of all time, it looks like, or they're billing it. The Rock, the Final Boss, and his cousin, the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns, taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. If Cody and Seth win, then for Cody and Roman's match the next night, clean match, no stipulations, just a regular traditional one-on-one match. If the Bloodline win, then Bloodline rules the next night, which is pretty much means no DQ, no holds barred craziness. And I'm just jumping ahead. I think the Bloodline are going to win here, because if Cody does beat Roman night two, what better way to really just, that's holds Cody's story for the last year, is adding more challenges in front of him, things for him to overcome. And what better way at the final level of this story, this video game, you want to call it, with the final boss, than having Bloodline stipulation, Bloodline rules. Yep. So I see the Bloodline winning here.
Which is the reason why I feel like on Monday it was a Bloodlines rules match between Seth and Solo, but they didn't give us. They didn't give us all of what they could have given us. I know some people were probably like, Bloodline rules, they're not really doing anything. I don't see the Bloodline. Where are they? Right.
And so,
because they did that, it leads me to believe that, okay, we're really going to get a Bloodline rules match on night.
Yeah. On Raw this week, it was awesome. Rock and Roman both showed up, and Seth came out, challenged both of them to a match. And then Solo stepped up and says, no, I'll fight him tonight. And then Cody showed up at the end. We thought he was not going to be there. As you mentioned earlier, we thought he was out injured because he got busted open last week by The Rock, that beatdown. So what a great way to end Raw this week. The Bloodline were beating up Seth and Cody, whipping him with a weight belt, a Cody Rhodes American Nightmare weight belt. Even the ref got beaten that hit with the belt too.
They should have had Rock snatch it from a kid in the front row.
Oh, that's right. The Rock's promo at the beginning of Raw. We played the video of the girl on, it was a TikTok. The little girl who's crying thought Cody Rhodes was dead because The Rock killed him. And the mom's like, no, Cody's okay. I'm like, that's why Cody's going to win now. Cody's got to win to make that girl happy.
has to, man.
It make me all of us Cody crybabies feel better. Yeah. But yes, I think Bloodline's gonna win. I think that's pretty obvious. Now, whether who gets the pin, I think Rock pins Cody.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, I see it that way too.
Okay.
I see it that way.
Yep. All right, let's jump over to night two. I know this is running long. So many matches and so much to catch up on. We got the Pride, which is Street Profits and Bobby Lashley taking on the Final Testament, which is Karrion Kross and Authors of Pain, AOP. This has been a feud that's been ongoing on SmackDown for the last couple of months now, kind of that mid-card feud level. I'm happy for all of them to be on the show because I thought they were not going to be on there. Street Profits had a chance to win their way into the tag title ladder match, but AOP cost them that, which then led to this match here. Karrion also beat down Bobby Lashley and B-Fab in their dressing room on SmackDown this past week. I think the Pride's winning here just because the Final Testament stood tall last week. So yeah. I think the Pride winning. I think Street Profits, Bobby Lashley, Babyface is going to win here. How about you?
I agree. Pride got to get this win. Happy for Karrion Kross that he's getting this chance to wrestle at WrestleMania. But I feel like the Kross has been doing a hell of a job, too, on social media trying to sell this match and trying to, you know, cause friction between Lashley, Dawkins, and Ford. And B-Fab, just a lot of people, they haven't really been getting that much TV time. So Kross has been really utilizing social media to try and sell it. And then even, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it. I'm so mad I missed it. But Lashley, Dawkins, Ford, and B-Fab were all on Instagram Live yesterday. And so I was like, yo, what did they do? What did they say? Like, did they respond? Okay. Like, what's going on? But I really do think that this is going to be a good match. B-Fab, Scarlett, put on your jeans, girls. It's scrap.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to this match. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Street Profits always deliver at WrestleMania with their performances. And great to see Bobby Lashley back on a WrestleMania card. He wasn't on it last year. He remember won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle that Friday. And then he showed up in LA just walking out with the trophy and just waved. Like, that's it. It was like such a crime last year that Bobby Lashley and LA Knight were not on WrestleMania last year. So I'm happy both of them are going to be on the card this year. All right, next up, speaking of LA Knight taking on AJ Styles. Now, this has been ongoing for months. LA Knight, another friend of the show now. He was on the podcast a couple months ago. Yeah. So watch my interview with LA Knight. It's on our YouTube feed as well. Going back to Royal Rumble season when Roman had the what was the fatal four way?
Fatal four way at Royal Rumble. It was it was
oh my Styles, god, what?
Styles, Knight, Orton, was it Orton and and Reigns? Yeah,
was it right? Yeah, hold on, let me see here.
It was supposed to be Orton, but they didn't want Orton to work the 1-on-1 because they didn't want him to lose right away.
Yeah, Roman Reigns taking on AJ Styles, LA Knight, and Randy Orton for the title. And then from that, because the three of them were kind of like hating on each other, but also going after Roman Reigns. So then the fallout, it led to this rivalry between AJ Styles and LA Knight. Randy Orton and Kevin Owens went on to a separate thing.
Yeah, another underrated like feud. By the way they put that fatal four way together was really cool.
And so, Elimination Chamber, LA Knight was in that match. AJ Styles flew all the way to Australia just to run in there when the gate door was open and caused LA Knight Elimination Chamber match spot. He got eliminated, and it's been nonstop. Who can one up each other? LA Knight showed up to AJ Styles' house. AJ Styles' house, man, everyone must know his address because was Samoa Joe back in the day went over there. Like, everyone goes to AJ Styles' house. LA Knight was dressed as security guard this week and attacked AJ Styles. So they've been going at it nonstop.
Yep.
I think LA Knight is winning here. His first WrestleMania match. One of the hottest stars last year in WWE. I think you got to get him back on track. You got to get some new momentum going for him. He needs to win a title of some sort this year. I still think the U.S. title at some point is in his cards. Yeah. So I think AJ Styles can take the loss, won't affect him much. But LA Knight, I think, is winning here. How about you?
It's Logan Paul's fault that the dang door was open to even get beat to begin with by AJ Styles with the chair. But I agree. I think Logan Paul, LA Knight beats AJ Styles here. Are you prepared to hear AJ Styles' new theme song?
Oh yeah, didn't he hint that he was gonna have a new theme song?
He did.
I'm curious what it's gonna be. But I think LA Knight's winning here, and then I think he goes after the U.S. title. And speaking of the U.S. title, it's Logan Paul defending against Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. This is another story that's kind of taking place out of Elimination Chamber. Logan Paul, was he in the Elimination Chamber? Logan Paul was in it because he had the marker on the glass. Yeah. So all three of them in Elimination Chamber. So this is a fallout from that, this rivalry, that this triple threat here. Before they announced SummerSlam being in Cleveland, I thought Logan was going to lose the title here. And I was like, okay, maybe Randy Orton wins it and he can kind of elevate the U.S. title like Gunther elevated the IC title, because the U.S. title needs to be elevated more. Logan Paul's been doing an okay job as a part-time champion, but that U.S. title still needs some rehabilitation. And I think Randy Orton, great way to keep him away from maybe the main event scene right now.
Yeah.
But then again, if Cody wins the title, that's a great program, him versus Randy, because they have legacy history there. Not to foreshadow my pick later, but I'm leaning towards Logan Paul retaining, and he holds that title all the way to the SummerSlam, since it's going to be in Cleveland, his hometown. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking that that's why Logan's going to win.
Yeah, I agree too. Just like you said, like Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, if Cody Rhodes wins that title, I'm thinking every last person who has been behind Cody and had his back and or has fallen to the bloodline, they're going to be lining up to get a shot at Cody Rhodes. And I think Randy Orton, Kevin Owens is one of them. So yeah, and I do think that it's an opportunity for WWE to put the stamp on Logan Paul. Like he's one of us. He's here. He beat Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Big win on the grandest stage. Retaining his championship, and it's a good way to catapult him to Cleveland for SummerSlam. Whoever his opponent there is going to be, I don't know, but and it's triple threat, so anything goes. So brass knucks are all for fair play.
That's right. He jumped from under the ring on SmackDown last week to interfere. So
it's crazy that's become his thing. You know, the brass knucks.
Oh man, I gotta give him credit. He's been a phenomenal heel. He's been great, and so you know, I give him credit at times.
Yeah. Like things he says, or you just don't know what he's gonna say.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But he's been great, man.
Next up, WWE Women's Championship on the line. Io Sky defending against Bayley. Former leader of Damage Control taking on the new leader of Damage Control here. Bayley got kicked out of Damage Control. She knew that they didn't want her in the group. She revealed, over a month ago now, that she could speak some Japanese and knew they were talking crap about her behind her back. She caught them talking crap. We saw in the backstage area, she walked in on them talking about her. And before they could jump her out, she kind of had tried to get the upper hand. She had that pipe hidden under the ring steps and was going after it. So, Bayley won the Royal Rumble this year, and so when she was trying to make her pick, Io Sky and Damage Control, I could tell, did not want her to pick them, but she picked Io because, like I said, she knew they didn't want her in the group anymore. So that just confirmed her pick to go after Io Sky, get revenge. This has been an okay story up until this point. Like, I kind of felt like there could have been some more with it. But it's been very simple as far as Bayley kicked out of a group. She's babyface now, and I think her story now is trying to rehabilitate her persona, kind of similar to what Jey Uso went through in the last year, as far as you coming from a heel faction, you're now a babyface, but you got to win over people. And that's something I like about WWE storytelling now. It's like kind of real human emotions. Bayley, you know, pissed off a lot of people when she was leading Damage Control, and as a heel was really mean to people and beating up people. And so I think hers babyface, how does she repair those relationships now? And that's an ongoing story I think they'll dig into. Similar, you know, Sky, though, it's like I think she needs a big win with to kind of solidify this title reign for her. But I don't know, I kind of think Bayley should win here. Mm-hmm. Because she hasn't had a big WrestleMania moment I could think of. Like, what was it? Tampa, she was like hosting kind of. And then like, didn't the Bella Twins kind of, you know, make fun of her or, you know, embarrass her somehow. And then she was in the match against Lita and them last year. I think Bayley's due for a big WrestleMania moment. Yeah. Out of the four horsewomen, she's the one that I think hasn't had that big crowning moment. Mm-hmm. So I just think Bayley should win here for a feel good moment for night two. What are you thinking?
I agree. I say Bayley gets the win, and I just feel like the build for this has not been what it should have been.
Yeah.
I know that they've tried their best. Mm-hmm. It's just hard when you got heavy hitters like The Rock and Roman and
and
Cody and all them, right? And it's so heavy, but I do think that it's possible because the match with Damage Control and Jade and all them are on night one, that maybe Io Sky tries to pull a Bayley and, you know, say, hey, come help me. Right. Mm-hmm. But then they get cut off by Jade and Naomi and Bianca. And then that's what I'm thinking. Right.
Yeah. Because good point.
Io Sky and Bayley can't just have a straight up match with no interference from Damage Control.
It's going to be overbooked. Yeah.
At least an attempt. Yeah, it's got to be overbooked to some degree, which will then lead to Bayley capturing the championship. And then I think because they also need a callback to maybe you finally have Bianca embrace Bayley, right? With a hug or a handshake or something.
Okay.
After the match, or maybe on the following SmackDown or whatever.
Yep.
I feel like that'll be a cool moment and everyone's happy for Bayley and embrace. And you're right. Bayley hasn't had one of those moments yet where she, you know, how the focus is on her, just her. It's not on her friendship with Mercedes, mm-hmm. you know, Sasha. It's just her, and it's revolving a story that she basically made and put together, right? Like she put the text out, like she's the reason why EO and Dakota are back in WWE. You know, she asked for it, so it's cool, man. I hope she does get the win.
As we learned this week, she's the one who invited CM Punk to backstage at Raw last year.
She's just inviting everybody.
Everybody. Bayley, where's our invite to hang out? Come on. I always see Bayley at a Niner game. I want to see Bayley somewhere else. Come on, Bayley, let's hang out. All right. For the World Heavyweight Championship, we got Seth Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre. As we mentioned earlier, Drew McIntyre filling the spot of CM Punk, pretty much. He won Elimination Chamber, new number one contender for that world title. Drew's been on a tear. Love his character development. Turning from the ultimate hater in WWE. He's hating on everyone. He's hating on making fun of CM Punk for getting injured in the Royal Rumble match and not having a WrestleMania main event spot now. He's hating on Seth Rollins. He's hating on Cody. I mean, he's just hating on everyone. He's been a phenomenal character work. One of, if not the best character work all of WWE right now.
Yep.
Now the big question is, real talk, has he signed a new contract? His contract is also set to expire soon. I think maybe he secretly signed a new contract. I think Drew needs to win here. Drew should win here. Oh, yeah. He is destined for a championship win in front of a live audience. A make good for what happened to him 4 years ago when he won the WWE title off Brock Lesnar in front of nobody at the PC back when the world shut down with COVID and the pandemic. So even though Drew's a heel, I want to see him get that moment. And I think what better time now when his character is hot again, even though he's a heel, he deserves this moment. I think Seth's going to win. I think, you know, Seth, you can say maybe he was beat up from the night before with the Bloodline tag team match situation. Yeah. Perfect way to kind of protect him a little bit here. I mean, who knows? Maybe the Bloodline, you know, we saw Paul Heyman talking to Drew last week backstage in the background. So maybe the trade-off we saw on Raw when Cody got beat up by The Rock, Drew came out, took out Seth while Solo and The Rock took out Jay. So that's how Cody was by himself and had no help when The Rock beat him up last week. So Drew kind of is an ally of the Bloodline. So maybe the Bloodline help him out here. Maybe Solo comes out and cost Seth the match. And we've seen Seth and Solo have a little history now with the match from this week on Raw. So I see Drew winning here and getting his moment.
Mm-hmm. Especially with CM Punk on commentary.
Right? Is he going to be on commentary? Is that official? Yeah, I mean, that promo last week with the three of them was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great. And I think if you're going to have CM Punk on commentary, you have to have, because they're that shot, right? Because there's got to be some kind of shot with McIntyre holding up the championship, staring at CM Punk, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that'll take you right to, you know, the next where you know it's headed, where you know the money is, right? Mm-hmm. With Drew McIntyre and CM Punk when he's healed up, whether that's in we know it's not going to be in France at Backlash, right? But he
did say in the interview with Ari Helwani that he's almost maybe healing twice as fast compared to the other similar injury on his other arm.
So he said, oh, they could have wrapped it up. I'm like, no, Punk, no.
Yeah, don't rush back too fast. But yeah, I wonder, could he come back? He didn't give an exact timeline because I think he still, you know, wants to keep kayfabe and not reveal when his surprise return could be. Yeah. I hope Punk is back by SummerSlam. That could be a SummerSlam match. Him versus Drew, maybe for the title at SummerSlam, if they want to go down that road. And then, you know, maybe Drew retains, and then you get Drew versus Gunther at the Berlin show. I'm just, you know, just throwing out ideas already, you know, 5 months early, 4 or 5 months early. But I think, Drew wins here. I think Seth, I don't know if he takes some time off just to heal, because, you know, he's still got a bum knee. I know it wasn't a full tear, but, you know, his body's beat up, you know, his back injury. So I think,
you know what? You can also have Seth retain here and maybe Punk be, you know, like him distracting Drew. And that's maybe how Seth can get a win over Drew. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something that's one of the good things about WrestleMania, especially nowadays. It's like, you just don't know, anything could happen. It could be Seth, it could be Drew, it could be anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you can use Drew losing as a way to play into, oh, maybe he hasn't re-signed, and then bam, you find out he's re-signed and he maybe earns an opportunity to get a shot in Scotland at Clash to the Castle, you know. Yeah. So, you know, maybe that's a selling point. Like, hey, you sign back, you know, you have your big moment in front of your home country. There you go.
Yeah, the Clash. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Clash of the Castle was announced today. It's going to be in Scotland. So I think that could be a great opportunity for Drew to be champion in front of his home country. So, I see Drew winning here. All right. Last but not least, the match we've been waiting for, a year in the making as far as the rematch, 2 years in the making since Cody Rhodes returned to WWE for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, defending against the American Nightmare, back-to-back Royal Rumble winner, Cody Rhodes. We've talked about a lot with Cody, Roman here. I know we can go talk on and on about it, but just jump right into it. Cody needs to win here. I hope Cody wins. He needs to win. I don't care about Roman Reigns trying to break Hulk Hogan's title reign. It's not a record. It's just third all time on the spot, but who cares? I talked about this with Graham GSM Matthews on his show a few weeks ago. To me, someone's like legacy is more about like the number of title wins, not title reign length. I feel like title reign length has only been brought up in the last year because of Roman passing over 1,000 days. But I feel like for the last 20 plus years watching WWE television, they were more about the number of title wins comparing Ric Flair and John Cena, Randy Orton, Triple H, how many title wins they have against compared to each other. Like I said earlier, I think the Bloodline story has jumped a shark going back to SummerSlam last year. Having The Rock around for the last like 5-6 weeks has really freshened things up to a certain extent, but Rock's not going to be around forever. After The Rock leaves, what do you have left? Roman's gone through all the top competitors and defeated them. A lot of his matches are very similar, outside interference, very predictable. Mm-hmm. I think it's time. It's time for Roman to drop that title, move on, take some time off, start a program with The Rock at some point. I mentioned this with Graham GSM Matthews. I think maybe what you do is if you get Rock versus Roman next year, maybe Rock stays being the heel. And this is how you get Roman to be babyface, is he's taking down this bigger evil, kind of like someone from his creation. I know when The Rock beat down Cody last week, then on SmackDown, Paul Heyman said, oh yeah, The Rock did it based on the tribal chief's instruction. So I guess trying to justify that Roman's still the top dog of the Bloodline, the leader. Yep. So like The Rock is following orders. I think there could be some fallout there. I think if Roman loses, then that can give The Rock motivation, be like, dude, You embarrass the Bloodline. You embarrass our family. You drop the title to that guy. You're out now. Or how dare you? You're an embarrassment to our family. And that could set up the rivalry between the two of them, Rock and Roman.
I would do that. Mm-hmm. I would do that immediately, Raw after Mania. I would do that. I'll have The Rock come out. I'll have him call Roman out. And then that's how you have their little stare off. And that's where you start the confusion. That's where you start to see it split. Like, whose side is Jay on? Whose side is Solo on? Who's, and you can just stretch it out until whenever,
I just think for me, though, and this is what I said on Graham's podcast last month, is let's not forget the big picture here, which is, I think, going back to the previous regime, Vince McMahon and his crew, they've always wanted to make Roman the top star, the new star of this era, the Hulk Hogan, the Stone Cold of this generation, the John Cena of this generation.
Yeah.
Now, turning him heel was the right move, because for how many years as a babyface, it was not working. Turning him heel over the last 3.5 years, it's finally working. He's finally reached that level, which you can argue he could be in the Mount Rushmore conversation now. But I think the final step to really solidify his legacy as one of the all-time greats is, can he do a babyface run now? But in order to do that, you need a bigger heel to kind of fight against. And what better bigger heel than The Rock as this final boss, which has been very intimidating, very menacing, very scary. So I think bringing The Rock in while helping add to Cody's story and making it Cody trying to overcome all evil here as the baby face to win it all, the hero. But I think also long term, it's a way to get The Rock, or get Roman over as a baby face. So I think Roman loses here. Cody wins, becomes new champion, feel good moment. Great way to end the night. Bloodline rules match, and it's going to be overbooked. And a lot of people say it's going to be an Avengers Endgame style moment where all these people are going to show up, all these allies of Cody, Seth, Jay. Mm-hmm. When The Rock was beating up Cody, there was the WWE truck outside. We had John Cena and Stone Cold's faces on, and both have history with The Rock. Could they show up? Yep. It's going to be an overbooked fiasco, I think, similar to when like Mick Foley won the WWE title in the late 90s. Everyone's going to show up and help Cody win, which I hope Cody still wins clean. That's my thing.
I said, if they're going to do that, I would love if Rock, or I'm sorry, Cena and Austin and Rock, and if you have a Austin and Cena come in, have them take everybody away from the ring. Jay, all of Cody's allies, take out
Roman.
Don't take out Roman.
Yes.
Take everybody else away from the ring.
Yeah.
And then we finally get that one-on-one that last, you know, 3 to 5 minutes one-on-one, Cody and Roman. Because that's really all you need, right? When it comes down to it, it's like that last moment. Yeah, when they pan that camera out and they see the crowd going crazy. I want that moment. I want that for Cody. I want it for Roman. You know, I feel like they both deserve it.
Yeah.
I want to see a match end with nobody helping.
Because that's Roman's MO for all his title offenses. The majority of them, he's had some sort of outside interference to help him. So that his ultimate downfall is not when he doesn't have any help, he can't do it on his own as a heel. That's what's going to cost him. So yeah, Cody needs a win here. That way Cody can, you know, move over to SmackDown, and then you have a bunch of fresh new stories for that main event scene. Yep. That main event picture, it freshens things up, you know, could give Randy Orton something to do now. The legacy tie-in with Cody, Bobby Lashley, Karrion Kross, a lot of people who Sheamus, I think
if he returns.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people on the SmackDown roster who either Roman is defeated, so now they're on the outside waiting to get back to the main event picture. But it's not the right time right now because you don't want to have rematches with Roman. So you get Roman out of the way. Cody's now the top guy with the title, and it creates new storylines, fresh stories for that main event scene and for fresh title defenses, fresh matchups. So that's why I think Cody needs to win, you know.
Yep, 100%.
Roman, amazing. And, you know, if he loses here, I think we can, on a future episode, discuss overall what did this title reign mean to us. You know, what's its lasting impact and legacy of this title reign is going to mean for years to come, people to talk about. But we could save that for another time. But yeah, Cody needs to win. Finish the damn story, Cody.
Shit, man.
I'm not flying all the way to Philadelphia on my own dime just to see you lose again. Jesus.
Oh, man.
Come on, Cody.
Let's go, Cody.
Let's go, Cody. Shout out to Alfred. We'll see Alfred as well in Philadelphia. Let's go, Cody.
Oh, man.
Looking forward to it. So yeah, it's going to be on Peacock. Cannot wait to see it all, and we'll do a review afterwards and see what happens Raw after Mania too. Hopefully there's some good stuff there. And the Hall of Fame should be good. NXT Stand and Deliver, all that stuff. It's going to be a great weekend. WrestleMania 40. Can't believe 40 years. Well, technically 39. 39 years since the first WrestleMania back in 85. Or was it 85? Yeah.
85, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 40 WrestleManias. Incredible stuff. So we'll document as much as we can. And Brian, thank you for spending your time with me, get these predictions
Absolutely,
in. Back. Yeah, I know it's a technical we would have the episode out yesterday, but we had some technical difficulties last night, some here a little bit too, but I think we got it all done. So Brian, please tell the clicks where they can find you.
Clicksters, reach me, find me at Brian Tronic on everywhere, everything.
And then just at Brian Tronic, right?
That's it, man.
I'm Baby Huey. Follow me on Facebook at Baby Huey Official, Twitter and Instagram at Baby Huey 83. And follow In The Click, KLIQ, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. InTheClick@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts at. Please, if you're watching this video, give it a thumbs up. Leave a comment. Do you agree with our predictions? Anything you would do differently? What are your thoughts? Leave a comment. Please, we love interacting with you guys. Thank you for support. Get back on track now. It's a new year. Well, it's been a few months already, but here we are, spring season. Thank you guys for watching all the interviews, all that good stuff. And on that note, let's go home. And that's the bottom line, because Huey said so.